Not everything is as it seems. In the world of investigations and child welfare, intuition isn't just a feeling. It's actually a survival skill. I was once a part of an adoption case where a seemingly well-intentioned parent was hoping to adopt a child. But something just didn't sit quite right with me, and I could not put my finger on what it was. A deeper look uncovered a chilling truth, one that could have put a child in harm's way. In this episode, I'm sharing the wisdom I've gained as both an adoption worker and an investigator, because protecting the vulnerable starts with trusting your instincts. Now let's talk about why your gut feeling is often your greatest asset. Top Priority Chronicles, and this episode is titled Trust Your Gut, the Truth Behind a Thorough Background Investigation. For our first time viewers, we want to thank you for joining us. And if you are a returning viewer, I'd like to thank you for your interest and your loyalty. I look forward to a long future together. Now let's get right on into it. Today's episode is specifically about experience as an adoption worker and working with a particular person who was interested in adopting a child. My initial meeting with this person was in their home, and this person had just moved into a brand new apartment, so everything was squeaky clean, and their presentation was business casual dressed, button-up shirt and slacks. Nothing out of the ordinary stood out to me. They seemed very mild-mannered, very nice and accommodating. So initially our meeting is just going to get a layout of their property where they live, making sure that it is the size that can accommodate a new child, and going to initially just make contact, get to know and meet the person, and also initiate a home study, which adoption workers have to do for every family that's adopting a child. So initially there was no red flags going off about this person, and they really led themselves off with that they were providing a lot of care to a young family member that was a child, and that they were helping other family members by providing a lot of care to this child and basically using their experience providing care to that child as helping them feel confident in their ability to adopt a child. So again, the first meeting was at their brand new apartment. As a matter of fact, I believe I was there before they even had all the furniture. So it was a nice space. He presented well. I didn't have any concerns about our meetings. I must admit, there was a deep-seated concern that I couldn't put my finger on, that I didn't know what it was. It was a nagging feeling in the back of my head. And a part of me just discounted it, thought I was just being judgmental. And so I just tucked it away and I didn't give it much thought. So after the initial meeting, and I have collected the appropriate signatures, it initiates the adoption worker starting the home study on the potential family. The home study consists of me collecting records, background records on this individual, medical records, criminal background records, any involvement with DHS, which is the Department of Health and Services, and which could be different in different states. So we also find out if they've lived in different states, so we know to look for, initiate criminal background checks in those states, as well as any DHS records in those states. Medical records, mental health background records, drug and alcohol records. The attempt is to leave no stone unturned. We are trying to contact friends, family members, neighbors. We are just trying to get a good picture of who this person is who's interested in adopting a child. Now, on this episode, I'm intentionally doing my best to withhold the sex of this potential person of interest. I really want to be sensitive because this is a very sensitive matter, and I don't want to take for granted that I was given a position where people are in their vulnerable state, and I don't want to exploit that privilege. So I want to make sure that I'm not, that whoever saw this video would not be able to identify the person I'm referencing. So anyhow, I started collecting records. I started trying to make contact with the people from their background. And basically this is when the red flags started to appear. Basically, there were people in their background that would have been very important for me to make contact with. They were denying me to make contact with people from that background. Specifically, this individual had been married before and were not allowing me to, did not want me to contact their ex-partners. They had also been married with children before. They did not want me to contact the children they helped to raise, which for me were red flags. And to be honest, started to make sense of the gut feeling I initially had when I met this person. Another red flag was the individual had just moved into this new apartment. Now, there was nothing wrong with this individual moving, but the person, they just quit their old job, started a new job, just quit this, quit their old place, moved into a new place. And so I was contacting new employers and new neighbors that had not gotten a chance to know this person yet. So I was not really getting an accurate view of who this person was, and they were not open to me contacting the people from their previous employment or previous residence. More red flags. Finally, there were a new doctor. I had to contact, he just signed up with a new job, got new health insurance, got a new doctor. And that meant I didn't have access to his previous records or the relationship that his previous doctor had with him. It was all new people, all new records with not much history to be shared. So again, those were red flags that were going off for me because I was not able to get a full story of who this person was from someone else's point of view. I only had this person's point of view telling me how great they were. So that was a concern for me. And the final, there may have been other red flags. This has been a while ago. I just totally may have forgotten them. But the most telling of the red flags was DHS had come back with chilling outcome of the DHS records. There was court records that identified this person as not only being arrested, but also being experienced through the court system due to abuse of a child. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. The red flags were going off left and right, and that was the final one. And as an adoption worker and being new to that field, I would have thought that would have made him ineligible to adopt a child. But the truth of the matter is, and you may all be shocked with me, I was quite shocked to find out as an adoption worker, I still had to service him. I still had to assist him with attempting to adopt a child. The one change that happened is that we now had to incorporate in his home study report the new information we had obtained, which was that there was court records that memorialized him having concerns around children. And I had to include that in the home study. And I must say I was flabbergasted to find out. And there were times I wanted to walk off that job because of this specific case. But I must admit I had a good team lead supervisor who was really, she was just as, you know, surprised as I was, but supported me every step of the way and really validated my concerns, affirmed my concerns. And oftentimes when we both thought we were going to just say, oh, no, that's all we can provide for you. She had to go and do her research and find out we had to move forward with this family. So considering all things I just said, it really changed. This experience changed my view of the adoption system and children being adopted and who they're being adopted to. So make a long story short, I was not able to place a child in this person's home, which I'm going to be honest to my concern, that was a success, because placing a child in that home would have put that child in harm's way. And there was no way that we as adoption workers could guarantee that child's safety, considering all we knew about that individual. So I had a chilling realization about what could the outcome have been had we have not caught this on the front end. If you have strong opinions or you'd like to give your input, please feel free to drop it in the comments. I'd love to elaborate, or maybe it's a topic for a future episode, but I'm always open to feedback and ideas and thoughts about what I'm sharing. So once the hard information was discovered and I had to talk to the person to inform them of the new information we had discovered. And if I'm not mistaken, I can't particularly remember if it was in person or over the phone, but I did witness this person as a different individual when this information was relayed. When this person knew of the information we had, despite their attempts to conceal it, they were not very happy with us, and they were not happy with the outcome that we had to include that in their home study. But they were compliant and they went along. The final outcome to this case was that I was not able to place a child in that home. For me, that was a success. I imagine for that family, that was not a success. At the end of the day, it was important for me to make sure that I can go to sleep with the decisions that I am a part of being made. And a part of that, this was a big deal, because I would have contributed to a child being placed in a home where there was potential for abuse without any oversight. Now, when I say without any oversight, does not mean that after a family adopts, the adoption worker stays with the family for, I want to say 6 months or longer, if there's any problems, to finalize that after the adoption is finalized. The challenge is, a lot of the times, children who have experienced foster care don't know that they can reach out for support, or they've been told to lie, or they're afraid to tell. And as an adoption worker, putting a child in that position would have just broken my heart. I was in the process of adopting, of a kinship adoption myself, meaning that I was in the process of adopting family children of my own. And the last thing I would have wanted was to contribute to children being placed into a home where their safety was in jeopardy. So before closing, I want to make sure that as investigators, not even investigators, just as regular people, make sure that you are paying attention to that gut feeling, that intuition. It is a gift from God. And a lot of the times we may not know what is precipitating that nagging, what is causing it, or where does it come from. What I'm telling you is just pay attention to it. Because a lot of the times, just noting that it's there and just paying attention, there's something that will happen up the road that will make that nagging feeling make sense. And we have been called to act, not to just know. Once you know something's not right, it is up to us. We have a duty. And as an adoption worker, I had a duty to protect the child first. I did work for the adoption agency, and I imagine, maybe their first instinct was to be able to get an adoption, a child placed so they can earn the money and the reputation of placing families. But for me, and matter of fact, this case was so strong after this, I didn't stay on much longer because it was so, it just had a very big impact on me emotionally. It was like a boulder being tied around my neck. And for me, if that child would have been placed, it would have been like someone dropping that boulder with tied around my neck in an ocean. And I would have not wanted that pressure on me. So I am grateful for the outcome. I want to encourage you all to make sure that you're paying attention to your intuition. It is our greatest asset. It is also trying to tell you something, trying to teach you something, and trying to tell you to be aware of something. So I encourage you, when you get a nagging feeling in the back of your head that you don't know where it's coming from and you can't really explain it, don't discount it. Tuck it away. And if I were you, I'd even ask your higher power to give you discernment to understand what it's about. And I just want to say, if you know, not just for children being adopted, but if you know a child that you suspect is being abused, or if you have friends or individuals that have expressed interest in inappropriate behavior with children, I would encourage you to not sit back and not do nothing. If you know someone is unsafe or a child is in jeopardy, I encourage you to do something. And just for information, I want to leave you with the National Child Abuse Hotline, which is 1-800-4-A-CHILD. Again, that number is 1-800-4-A-CHILD. And also, if you suspect child abuse, I would encourage you to contact your local police or sheriff's department. And you can make a non-emergency report, or if you feel like something is in the process of happening, you can make a 911 call and ask for an emergency to respond. The importance of making sure that our children are safe does not just land on parents. It is a duty that we, as the community, as the village, all pull together to protect children. I want to thank you for joining today's podcast. I would encourage you to stay tuned for the next episode. If you have ideas or interests of what you think my next episode should be, or that you would like to see me do an episode on, please DM me or put a message in the chat. I'll make sure that I read those, and no stone will go unturned. I thank you for listening to my content. I look forward to seeing you again.